Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Balanced Pursuit podcast. Today, we are going to switch things up a little bit with a Q&A episode. Once in a while, I do like to do this over on Instagram stories and get you guys to ask me a bunch of questions and I will answer them. But this time, I figured I would answer your questions over here on my podcast because I got hundreds of messages and I had a lot of like commonalities behind them. And I just wanted to dig deeper into these topics because it's really hard to do this over on Instagram stories. I always get a good variety of questions and I was able to break them into six core topics. So today we're going to cover half of them because I don't want to overwhelm you guys with too long of an episode because I do tend to ramble quite a bit. But today we're going to go over topics like budgeting, spending, saving and investing. And then you'll have to wait for part two next week where we'll dig into entrepreneurship, social media and personal. We are going to chat about all of this today, so get yourself comfy and let's get into it. All right, so let's kick things off with the template slash budget section of these questions. I'm going to ramble them off to you. I'm going to answer all of your questions. So let's start off with the first one, and that one is, when is the 3.0 template released? I'm happy to share that it was released on January 1st. It is my new and improved budgeting template. I initially launched my first budget template back in May of 2023, and I've continuously made updates. This was, however, the biggest one yet. I've learned so much when it comes to formulas, and I've also just learned a lot from you guys asking what it is that you think is missing and things like that. So I've taken everything into account and I created, you know, I'm obviously going to be very biased, but I do think it's my best budget template yet. You've got custom categories, you have savings and investments completely separate. You have a savings withdrawal so you can keep track of that. There's a net worth tracker. I'm probably forgetting a bunch of things. Oh, like the formulas are so much better. So everything that you track into your spending goes automatically over into your budget. It's just very intuitive and seamless. So it's going to just make your life a lot easier when it comes to budgeting. The second question is how to budget a variable income. And this is probably one of my top asked questions all of the times, whether that be on email, DMs, or in my comments. And I know that it is a tough one because also it does kind of depend on what type of variable income you do make. You know, it does vary because obviously if people work in real estate, for example, they have months where they don't make any money. And then you have some self-employed people where you make $3,000 one month, $6,000 one month, $10,000 one month, and that kind of thing. But I will give you kind of a good answer that will help most of you, I hope. And that is looking at your last 12 months worth of income. And then I want you to look at the lowest 6 months worth of income. Ignore any $0 income months or any like extremely low income months. Don't include that. But then you want to create a 1 month average off of that. The reason why I like to do this because I definitely like to budget more conservatively, because obviously if you have a crazy high income month, that's amazing. But if you have budgeted like your, you know, lower income months, it just gives you more opportunity to save, invest, or pay off debt if applicable. So I definitely say budget more conservatively, look at those lower average months and create a budget off of that. And then anything else that you make that's more, then you can just have that for more fun things. Next one is how to budget monthly with bi-weekly pace. And it's really interesting because I do get this question quite a bit where people ask me, how do I budget if I get paid twice a month? Honestly, I would say 99% of the people who use my budget template, they get paid twice per month, sometimes three times in 1 month. I don't do bi-weekly budgets or templates because I really want people to get out of the mentality of living paycheck to paycheck. And that is the reason why I have a monthly budget instead. It has worked wonders for me when I switched that because I used to have that kind of paycheck to paycheck mentality. So I think that a monthly budget will really help you with that. I think the key piece when it comes to this is that you want to make sure that you have a 1 month checking buffer. So have 1 month worth of expenses saved up in your checking account so you're never waiting for that next paycheck. It's essentially like a 1 month emergency fund. But this is really going to allow you a lot of flexibility when it comes to budgeting. You're never going to be stressed like, oh my God, when's rent coming out? Which paycheck is going to that? I really want people to switch away from this. So that is why I have a monthly budget versus a bi-weekly budget and things like that. It's going to be a big change for people who might be used to another way, but I encourage you to try it because I promise you it is so much better. Next one is if my template works for couples and families, and absolutely it does. I would say at least half of the people who are using my template is either for a couple or for a family. There are so many lines when it comes to your income, extra income. You have a ton of lines when it comes to all of your different categories of spending. So you can split it up and then you can have it super organized and categorized to whatever your household is. So absolutely, you can definitely use my template if you're a couple or if you are a larger family. And last but not least in this template slash budget topic category is how to budget. This is a loaded question, but I will try to answer the best I can. In the personal finance space, a very popular system is the 50-30-20 budget rule. 50% of your income should go towards needs, 30% should go towards wants, and 20% towards savings and investments. I have a little bit, obviously when it comes to this rule, it is not necessarily attainable for most people, especially if you live in an expensive city, and that you do have to kind of adjust those numbers. But I think it's a good baseline to kind of start. I will say 30% of your income going towards wants versus 20 towards savings and investments, I don't necessarily agree with. I personally like to switch the two. I think you should be saving and investing more of your money than actually spending on your wants in a month, but that's just me. And now onto the second segment, and this is gonna be spending type questions. So the very first one is pay for big purchases in full or finance. I am so against the buy now, pay later and the Affirm stuff. Oh my God, I see them all of the time when I'm creating custom budgets. With this, honestly, it just makes people spend more money than what you actually can afford. And I think that is the biggest issue with this stuff. It just incentivizes you to spend more money. You know, when you split up a Aritzia order that's $500 and you have it split up into three payments, it just seems much more manageable. And you're like, I can afford that. But you really can't. If you can't pay for something in full, you cannot afford it. And I encourage you to have that mentality moving forward. The second question is, where do I personally buy my clothing? I love this question. I don't really shop that often, but when I do, I definitely am more of like a quality versus quantity person, which is probably not shocking to hear. I definitely look at the fabrics, making sure that it is good quality. I look at cashmeres. I look at my wools. I look at all the good stuff. My personal favorite shop, if you are in Vancouver, is Turnabout. I don't know if I want to share the exact location because they have a few, but there's one that's just like so good and we find so many amazing pieces. Andrew, my fiance, is also a huge fan. I love shopping secondhand, not only because it's good for the environment, but it's also really great for the wallet. Why purchase something full price when someone already has? So I love it. I've found some incredible pieces secondhand. So that's definitely my go-to when it comes to trying to find some nice pieces to add to my wardrobe. I will say a second place that I do like to shop at is Aritzia, and that is for basics only. I do generally go there for like my t-shirts, my tank tops. I have, you know, the styles that I really enjoy. I also love their effortless pants. There is also a pair of shorts. I think they're Babaton. But I do like their stuff for basics. So that is like my other place that I do go to that I will buy new. Another question is how to get past bad spending habits. And honestly, this is kind of a personal question. I think that this usually goes a lot deeper than just like the surface level type of answer, because I think there's reasons why you are overspending and things like that. I definitely had my reasons too. What I will say is try to figure out when you look at your spending, what are the things that actually make you happy? What are the things that bring you joy? I think that when you start budgeting, you start tracking your spending, you start seeing where your money is going, it becomes really clear what you care about and what you don't care about. So I would encourage you to try to do it for 30 days, see if it helps. But just being intentional with your spending and also making some sacrifices, I think is really important when you're trying to figure all of this out. I have a couple questions when it comes to when someone is on mat leave and another person asks, they've just been laid off, how do I handle a small budget? My biggest thing is that you're going to have to start making some sacrifices in your budget. Most likely, you're probably making significantly less than what you did before. Don't go into credit card debt. Don't overspend. Don't continue to spend the same way that you were before. You have to write down your numbers. So write down your income, write down all of your expenses, write down all of your necessities, your needs. Look at what that is and what you have left over and see if there's a little bit of wiggle room for some fun money. But you really just want to focus on living within your means and do not overspend. I have a question about Wealthsimple and how it works when you need to make a purchase. So I talk about Wealthsimple a lot. I use this platform for all of my sinking funds. I also use that platform for my investments. But I do get this question a lot about how do I access, my sinking funds when I need to buy something. So how this works, it's super simple. You literally just go into whichever sinking fund it is and you withdraw the money and it usually comes into your bank account the next day. I think it can take up to 3 business days. However, I've never had it take more than one day. And I use this for taxes and stuff. So I usually do transfer quite big amounts sometimes. But when it comes to this stuff, it's really easy. You withdraw from Wealthsimple, it goes back into your main bank account and then you pay the bill. Easy peasy. I have a question about Vancouver and how much money someone needs to make in order to live comfortably here. I think that this, again, it completely depends on what comfortable means to you. Is comfortable living by yourself and, you know, being able to spend however much money you want on restaurants, dining out, things like that? Or are you okay with living with roommates, but you're still able to save and invest and all that good stuff? Also have some entertainment spending. I mean, it just kind of depends on what comfortable means to you. However, I will say the bare minimum, I would say $3,000 net monthly should put you in a pretty good spot if you live with roommates. However, I would say more in like the $4,000 to $5,000 income a month would probably put you in a pretty comfortable spot in the city. But again, it really just depends on your expenses, your lifestyle, and things like that. But I hope that kind of helps. But again, it's very hard to answer because it does truly depend on your situation. And then on to the third segment of the Q&A is going to be saving and investing questions. So the very first one that I have here is, I have $200 to save. Should I start an emergency fund or should I invest that money? For me, when it comes to this question, I have one thing that I always like to make sure is, do I have a 1 month emergency fund? That is the first thing that I would prioritize before starting to invest. I'm not a fan of taking money unnecessarily out of investments, so I always think it's a good idea to have at least a 1 month emergency fund before you start investing. It just gives you a nice cushion just in case anything happens, because guess what? Life will happen and it's going to cost you money. And it's really nice when you don't have to disrupt any investments. However, when you have built that 1 month emergency fund and you have the $200, I would probably split that into $200 to continue building your emergency fund and then $100 to invest. I have another question regarding emergency funds, and that is if they should keep it in the same place as other sinking funds, like for travel and things like that. Personally, I don't like to do this. I love having things separate and organized, probably not shocking to hear. Again, I use Wealthsimple Cash. It's their high interest checking account. And they allows 8 different buckets of savings, which is really great for organizing. So I personally like to have them all separated, but if that's not your thing, that's okay. But when it comes to, you know, the interest you earn and things like that, it doesn't matter if you have it distributed between the different accounts, if you are making the same interest rate across all of them. Next question is how to decide between an RSP or an FHSA as a priority. And again, this is going to be personal to you, right? If you are prioritizing, you want to make sure you're buying a home. I would say the first thing that you should be prioritizing is the FHSA account. That is the first home savings account. The nice part about the FHSA is it kind of combines the power of the RRSP and the TFSA. All of your investments in the account grow tax-free. You can also withdraw the money tax-free when you buy a home as a first-time home buyer. And the second part is that your taxable income also gets lowered, just like your RSP. So it is a really great account. I would definitely prioritize that one first if buying a home is really important to you. The RSP is great for retirement. They do have a home buyer's plan. That might just be a separate episode, but I personally am not a fan of it. Again, I kind of talked about this before, but I don't like disrupting investments. And that's kind of what you end up doing when you withdraw money from your RSP. So not a fan necessarily of the home buyers, but that is obviously completely biased. And that is my own opinion. So obviously do your own research on this. But the biggest thing here, guys, is just figuring out what are your priorities, what are your top priorities, and then kind of figure out what account makes the most sense for you. I have a question regarding bonuses, quarterly bonuses, Christmas bonuses, and then also if you get gifted a large amount of money from a family, what would you do? This one is going to obviously depend on your financial situation. If you have a bunch of high interest debt, I would definitely take that opportunity to boost that repayment. Otherwise, I would look at, you know, emergency fund. What does that look like for you? Do you have a comfortable amount in there? Does it need to get topped up? But otherwise, you know, investing, I think that that is like the key thing when you get those additional payments is use that towards, you know, future you. You can also split this up into like other sinking funds, traveling, things like that. You have to figure out an appropriate percentage for yourself. But I would say, you know, you want to take care of a little bit of yourself now, but also your future self when it comes to these bonuses, whether they be quarterly, annually, and things like that. I have a question about someone who was just laid off and they're asking for tips for saving when you have just been laid off. And honestly, I would not be concerned about saving. And if I've just been laid off, my main priority in that case would be to adjust my spending based on the new income that I would be making. If you're getting EI, for example, if there's no income, then obviously there's a bigger problem. But I think the key thing here and what I would focus on is just ensuring that you can pay for your necessities in a month. If you have more money, awesome. And you can start saving. That's great at the same time. But I would really just focus on like taking care of yourself, making sure you can pay your bills, and, you know, saving and investing can come later. Someone asked me if I would keep my emergency fund in a TFSA, that is a tax-free savings account, and I will absolutely not keep my emergency fund in a TFSA. I think a lot of people keep their emergency funds and savings in a TFSA, and honestly, I don't blame you because it's called a tax-free savings account. However, it should be called a tax-free investment account. This account is extremely powerful, and I think that, unfortunately, a lot of people just don't know how it works. So how it works is that all of your interest that you earn, whether that be through savings or investments, grow tax-free within the account. Your withdrawals are also tax-free. So this account is super powerful if you use it for investments. So I keep my savings and savings account, and I keep my investments in the TFSA. And honestly, I hate that it's not called a tax-free investment account. It drives me crazy because I feel like they kind of trick you into saying that it's for savings, but it really is for investing, you guys. So keep that in mind. I have a question regarding travel and other sinking funds. So people always ask me, what percentage of my income should I save for travel or should I save for gifts, things like that? You have to look at your own situation. You have to look at how much money do you want to spend in this category and is that attainable? Like, let's say you want to spend $10,000 a year on travel, let's say. Is that actually feasible if you are also saving for an emergency fund, other sinking funds, and you're investing? You just have to run your own numbers to figure out what that is. We already talked about like an appropriate percentage to be saving, which is generally at least 20% of your income. So you just have to figure out what is attainable for you and adjust. And the second last question is if I have a personal fund and a couple fund. Yes, kind of. Andrew and I have a combined emergency fund. So that is for any vet bills and car maintenance. So we both put in $200 a month, which always kind of covers anything that kind of comes up throughout the year that is like an us expense. But then when it comes to actually like a checking account, we don't have a combined checking account. What we do for our expenses is that any of our combined expenses, so like groceries, household, Frederick, our dog, things like that, everything goes onto our combined credit card. And then we just pay it off in full at the end of the month and we just split it in half. That is what works for us. It has worked for us for many years. We've almost been together for 6 years. Oh my God. We've been almost together for 6 years. And this is kind of what we started doing as soon as we moved in together. And it's worked wonders. And I honestly don't think we would change this. Like, we're getting married this year, but this works for us really well. So I can't imagine it changing, but stay tuned. So the final question is, pay off 0% student loan before investing. Personally, if I were in your shoes, I would keep that at minimum payment and just let that get paid off in the next few years. Because at the end of the day, if you're not paying any interest, you might as well use that money to save and invest. However, I will say this is still an emotional decision for some people, and they really just want to see debt paid off, get it cleared, then go for it. Paid off. That's totally fine. There's no one right answer. Just do what feels right for you. But generally, when it comes to this, are you going to make more money if you were to save and invest instead? Yes, but you have to do what's right for you. All right, you guys, I hope that you enjoyed part one of this Q&A. I feel like I need a big break before I can dig into part two. But I hope that you guys enjoyed this. Definitely let me know. It's always fun to kind of like chat about this stuff more conversationally versus just like, you know, a few answers here and there over Instagram stories. So I personally really enjoyed this, and I hope you did as well. But yeah, we'll chat with you in the next episode, and I'll be talking about entrepreneurship, social media, and then some personal questions, which you guys had a lot of. So stay tuned for that until next week. See you then.